Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Gospel, The Good News of God Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org Subject of this audio The Gospel of the Creator Chapter 1 Broadening the perception of the diversity of topics related to the Gospel of God The material exposed in this present theme, under the title The Gospel of the Creator, is part of the series The Gospel, The Good News of God, having already been preceded by the following subjects. 1. Much more than a message, an offer of life. 2. The limit of the unlimited gospel. Recalling yet the two subjects mentioned above, we point out that an introductory approach has already been taken to show that the gospel of God is unshakable, is eternal, and contains the noblest of the purposes to be sought by a person, as well as the most sublime and everlasting of the gifts already offered to human beings. The gospel of God is the most important aspect already pre-announced, announced, offered, and registered at all times regarding the goal of God for the life of all people, which, therefore, should also be considered by all as being worthy to receive the priority attention of every human being. The Scriptures, markedly and repeatedly, exalt the gospel of God by exposing, in many words, the greatness and the unique conditions found therein, as, for instance, it is presented in the following texts of the letters written by Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1. 16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Timothy 1, 8-10. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel of God, people of all nations, peoples, races, and tongues can receive remission of sins, eternal salvation, growing life in God's righteousness, increasing life through faith in the Lord, victory over eternal damnation of death, and immortality, which is also called eternal life or newness of life in the Lord. In this way, still facing the abundant exposition of the Scriptures on the fundamental importance and breadth of the Gospel, it is also notorious that a broader approach to something so sublime, supreme, and comprehensive needs to be carried out in such a way that the main aspects of this Gospel may also be seen from some more detailed perspectives. Without examining the Gospel of God more deeply in its various parts more expressively exposed in the Scriptures, and according to the principal and multiple aspects that are correlated to this gospel in the Bible's writings, the task of someone achieving a broader perspective or panorama on the main characteristics of this gospel, and what is offered through it, may become significantly limited. Thus, already in the first subject of the series on the Gospel of God, entitled Much More Than a Message, An Offer of Life, we intended to expose, before the other aspects, that the gospel of God does not refer only to an informative message about some specific intents of God. Already since the first theme of the series, we have sought to highlight the perspective that the gospel of God is a real and practical offer of the set that contains the gifts for the newness of life that God presents to human beings to be initiated from the moment in which they hear and receive this gospel. For when one observes some aspect from the perspective of an offer, it can also be perceived that an offer, in general, needs to be associated with several characteristics that constitute it as such. Precisely because the gospel is extended to people as an offer, It also presents a wide range of aspects to be known by the people in this condition of an offer. Once the gospel of God is equated with an offer or gift, and not only with a message that communicates knowledge, it is also presented by the Lord with the proper features of an offer and with the characteristics that surround an offer. An offer that actually is intended to be beneficial to a person is not just composed of what is promised in the offer, but also, among others, by what gave rise to the offer, what constitutes the various aspects offered, as well as what accompanies, supports, or is associated with the offer if it is accepted. Therefore, considering that the gospel of God is the expression of an offer and that it should also be observed in this way in order that a broader perception of the aspects that compose it may be reached, we believe that it is of great value to consider here that, in general, the offers and their context cover at least the following points. 1. The creator and offerer of the offer. 2. The motivations that cause the offerer to create and present an offer to others. 3. The purposes associated with the offer. 4. A set of aspects that compose what is, in fact, being offered and what supposedly should supply what is necessary so that the announced purposes may be reached. 5. The establishment of the terms of how the offer is shared or presented, and also the terms of acceptance, delivery, and guarantee of what is offered. 6. The definition of the target population or audience of the offer. 7. The communication of the availability of the offer to the target population, that is, the announcement of the offer made available. 8. The target population or audience itself, that is, the recipients of the offer. 9. The accomplishment of the delivery and the support of the offered aspects. 10. The competition, opposition, and resistance to the presented offer. Observing the items of the list exposed above, we can note that the process related to the evaluation of an offer encompasses a broad set of aspects, for the offer does not exist from itself, nor should it exist for itself. For an offer to come into existence, there must be an offerer who conceives and presents this offer and, on the other hand, for an offer to have a significant purpose, it is necessary for it to have recipients to whom it can be directed. And if we were to take a more sequential path to discuss the various aspects of the process of constitution, presentation, and delivery of the contents of an offer, the most logical thing would be to start with the considerations that begin the whole process, that is, by the factors related to the creator and offerer of an offer. Nevertheless, through the two previous subjects in the series on the Gospel of God, we chose to begin with the considerations regarding the positioning of the recipients of God's offer, given the essential relevance that the predisposition of the recipients has in their evaluation and acceptance of what is offered to them. Since a person, as the recipient of an offer, has a very decisive and mighty position in accepting or not accepting what is proposed to him or her, we also aim to expose this aspect first, because without the willingness to even pay attention to the offer of God, a person also does not put oneself in a favorable position to know the other aspects of this same offer. The subject about the limit of the unlimited gospel was then purposely presented as the second material of the series in reference, and before the other subjects of the gospel of God. For if the recipient of the offer does not have the interest of, at least, to know the offer that is presented to him or her, also the offerers, no matter how best they present themselves or presents their offer, become restricted to respect the border of acceptance that the recipient establishes regarding what is offered to him or her. From now on, however, following the goal of knowing more characteristics of the gospel of God as mentioned in the last list of topics discussed above, we would also like to move on to the considerations on the other aspects related to an offer and its context. Thus, if, on the one hand, the recipient of an offer plays a decisive role in accepting or rejecting an offer, on the other hand, one must also be sufficiently informed or supported to make an appropriate decision about what is offered to him or her. If, on the one hand, the decision to accept or reject an offer is the responsibility of the recipient of the offer, on the other hand, how to expect the recipient of an offer to properly opt for something if one does not know the main aspects of what is offered or does not know anything about those who are making or presenting the offer? The recipient's willingness to accept an offer precedes its actual acceptance. However, for acceptance to be made with an understanding and willingness, an appropriate exposition of the main aspects involved in the proposal is also required. In this way, on the one hand, for a person to evaluate whether he or she wants to receive something, one needs someone to expose what is being offered. On the other hand, to know what is being offered, a person also needs to take the time to evaluate the offer presented to him or her. The willingness of the recipient in knowing more about an offer and the presentation of the offer by the offerer are points that complement each other. Perhaps the introduction of this subject and the more detailed approach to pedagogic purposes on various characteristics of an offer may initially seem complicated to some readers, but this type of situation is commonly or routinely present in the lives of the vast majority of people. Daily a person is exposed to many offers and daily a person accepts or rejects the various aspects that are proposed to him or her. In the following text, therefore, the two topics mentioned in the last paragraphs are covered, showing the need to expose the aspects related to an offer, as well as the need for the recipients of the offer to evaluate what is presented to them. Romans 10:9-18. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The broader exposition of the gospel of God plays a crucial role in the whole process of spreading God's offer to humankind and also of its acceptance. For the exposition of the gospel of God, by the very word of God, is also a means for an individual to be able to reach the faith that is granted by God to believe in the gospel, as well as to attain the faith that is given by God to receive the gospel in the heart indeed. God offers his offer to people presenting various angles of his gospel, as well as in repeated ways, for God desires the good of human beings and wants them to know the veracity of his offer from its multiple characteristics so that they also may accept it willingly in their hearts. The actions for a person to receive the gospel of God are very simple and with practical effects available immediately after the acceptance of it. However, what is offered to the recipients of God's offer is something extraordinary, singular, vast, profound, majestic, and marvelous. And God does not shy away from presenting his offer in a broad way and with the exposure of its multiple characteristics, so that people may know what they need to know about his gospel or so that they may have the due understanding to receive it voluntarily. 1 Timothy 2:3-6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Since the dissemination of the aspects related to the gospel of God is so important and essential for that the recipients to whom it is addressed may also be equipped with the necessary information to be able to believe what the gospel proposes, we will seek, then, from this subject, to address the theme of the gospel in a more sequential way. Also pointing more broadly to the origin of the gospel, to the purposes for which it was conceived, and to the contents that are encompassed by the set of what is offered by God through the gospel to all human beings. The purpose of the present subject, and of the other subjects on the gospel of God, which are presented in the sequel, therefore, do not aim to pass on mere theoretical knowledge to readers, but are intended to expose considerations and reflections that are in accordance with God's will in order to cooperate so that readers may see, mainly by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, several central and fundamental points of the offer that the Lord directs to them. And also so that they may perceive the support that the Lord gives to the offered gospel. The purpose of these materials is in no way to add anything to the immeasurable and complete gospel of God, nor is it intended to present anything that could propose a suppression or diminution of what is contained in the perfect gospel of the Lord. The objective of dismembering several subjects and making several comments about the various large parts of the gospel of God, starting from the characteristics of its origin, aims just to present these considerations as tools of help that cooperate with people in the understanding what is offered by God, mainly so that they may make the voluntary choice to receive, in their lives, what God offers them already for the present time, as well as for all eternity. A continuous, renewed, and more detailed reflection on the fundamental and primordial aspects of the gospel of God, from the point of view of the characteristics of an offer, is of vital importance for each generation, since over the years and centuries, many people have tried to associate with the gospel of God parts that do not compose it, and that will never actually be encompassed by the unique and true heavenly gospel. The renewal of a person's understanding of the gospel of God may occur through the knowledge of what is unknown to him or her, but it may also happen through the renewal of the understanding of what was known only superficially or even distorted. So, the purpose of further exploring the gospel of God from the perspective of the various aspects of an offer, and from the perspective of the multiple central characteristics of the gospel of God, aims also to propose an opportunity to return to the observation of the foundations of this gospel since its source, so that people do not keep staying just in the layer of knowing the gospel through what has been imparted to them informally or merely through traditions and cultures. Having heard about the gospel of God does not necessarily mean having heard the true gospel of God, which is why returning to the fundamental conditions of the gospel, in its various characteristics of an offer presented by the eternal God, can be of such great importance. In the next chapters and the following subjects of the systemic teaching about Christian life, therefore, several points of the greatness of the gospel of God can be observed, as well as many aspects of the surroundings of the gospel of God that give credibility and support to it. The gospel of God and its surroundings are worthy of the most significant attention and dedication of human beings, remembering that when people do not pay attention to the gospel of God, they do not heed to the highest and most important gift ever offered for the real benefit of them. Many offers are presented daily to the multitudes that inhabit the earth, but no offer from the world is comparable to the eternal gospel of the Creator, and no offer from the world comes close to the value of the heavenly gospel, for no offer from the world has the consistency and surroundings aspects that the gospel of God has due to the source from which this offer originated. Although the gospel of God is offered in simplicity and humility to people, and can be received in these conditions, it is not a poor message and devoid of great and wonderful resources. The gospel of the Creator is the presentation of the most magnificent act of the love of God already revealed to humankind, before the angels, and before all principalities and powers, a reason why the broader knowledge of each of its main characteristics is also so precious for the life of every human being. 1 Peter 1:10-13. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.